This morning, we want to think about living passionately. And with that lens, I'd like you to just sort of listen to Peter's words as Peter challenges the church that he's writing to, and I think also us, to sort of push aside the negative passions and to have a positive, passionate faith in Christ. Listen to Peter's words. "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for human evil desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he or she should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Amen. This morning I want to think about living passionately and what that means in light of this scripture verse. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this 92-year-old man, and he went to see the doctor, and the doctor saw him a few days later, and he was with this beautiful young woman by his side, and he seemed as happy as can be. And the doctor said, "Wow, you sure are feeling better, aren't you?" And the man replied, "Yes, I'm just following your orders. You said, get a hot mama and be cheerful." And the doctor said, "That's not what I said. I said, you have a heart murmur. Be careful." You know, a passion for living can change your whole outlook on life. It can change everything about life. And sometimes when we think about faith, we think, well, you know, it's just sort of it's a downer. It's just to bring me down. It's not to have fun. It's not to be enthusiastic. I just need to sort of just be in my head and just kind of follow this list of do nots. But really, faith is really about a passionate faith and love in Jesus Christ. And that can transform our lives. And that's really what Peter, I think, is getting at. You know, there's some people you listen to them and it's just there's a certain negative edge to life. There's a I don't know if you're a Woody Allen fan, and you have to be in the right mood to watch his movies, but some of his sayings, Woody Allen said this, he said, "Life is full of miserableness, loneliness, unhappiness, and suffering, and it's all over much too quickly." And he said, "Every day is filled with opportunities and pitfalls. Our job is to seize the opportunities, avoid the pitfalls, and be home by 6 o'clock. And sometimes that becomes our attitude, doesn't it? But when I think about passionate living, the first thing I think about is sports. And I love this clip. Maybe we'll play it sometime. But if you just get a chance to listen to Lauren Holiday, who just retired at 27 and really was one of the key people to take the U.S. women's team to the World Cup and to win that a number of times. She has such a passionate, dynamic faith in Christ and a passion for sports. And maybe you've seen some people have some great passion for sports. This is now the beginning of the football season. I'm excited about that. And the Steelers are still undefeated in the regular season, since that hasn't started yet, as is Purdue. But, you know, sometimes you see someone with a lot of talent out there, and they're not doing well. It's not because they don't have the talent, but because their heart isn't in it that day. You know, they don't have the passion that day. And you can't just have the talent. You have to have the passion for the game, because you're getting banged around, and that passion carries you through that. This past season, I don't know if there's any hockey fans out there, but I love watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Blackhawks, just these young guys just went at it with such passion, and even the older players. And I think that was one of the things that carried them through a lot of adversity and challenge. And sometimes you think about music, and you see a lot of talented musicians, but you can tell when their heart isn't in it. And then you hear someone, and maybe they're not even as talented, but they're playing with passion, and it just touches your heart in a powerful way. And I appreciate the way our music team has such passion, not just in music, but in their faith in Christ. And I think that really makes a difference. I think about our relationships. And, you know, you can be a couple and you can be matched up perfectly, but, you know, if there isn't that passion, that heart isn't there, then it's not the same kind of relationship in our families. And so I think the same thing is true about our faith. And as Peter is writing to these folks and he's talking to them about faith, you know, it seems to me sometimes people think, well, you know, there's so many temptations in the world. Maybe the solution is to just dumb down everything, you know, and just have this list in front of us that don't do this and don't do that. But I think the truth is that as human beings, we're hardwired to live a passionate life. I think if we're either going to be sort of drawn towards negative kinds of passions or we're going to have a positive kind of passion. And Peter's saying you need to push aside these negative things and push forward to faith in Christ, which is a positive passion that can really ignite all of your life because God has given you all these gifts and talents. So Peter's writing and this is some of what he says. Again, he says, therefore Christ suffered in his body. Arm yourselves also with the same attitude because he who suffered in his body is done with sin. And as a result, he or she does not live the rest of their earthly life with evil human desires, but rather with the will of God. For you spend enough time in the past doing what pagans do. And he goes through this whole list of things to not do. And he says, they think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation. They heap abuse on you, and sometimes that happens. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead. Literally it says, dead man walking. That's a movie by that name. So that they might be judged according to men and women in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of things is near. You think about sometimes maybe when we distill our life, what does our life come down to? And you can sort of list, you know, what are the top 10 things in my life? I think sometimes of Frank Sinatra, which I love his music, you know, it's great. But when he passed away and at his funeral, his daughter put three things into his casket. She put in a bottle of Jack Daniels, a pack of Camels, and 10 dimes. Well, you know, the Jack Daniels, you kind of get that, and the Camels, I kind of get that. And I guess the dimes were to call home from wherever he was. But you think, if I was to take three things in my life, that my daughter came to my funeral, my celebration of my life, and she said, these are the three things that my dad stands for. I hope it weren't that. And, you know, I know those things aren't the worst things in the world, but you'd want them to be something that's positive and powerful and lasting from generation to generation. You could sort of pass that down. And so I think Peter's saying, listen, you got to turn away from these negative passions and pursue some positive passion. And he goes on. So I think that's the second thing, you know, push aside those negative passions and then to focus on positive passions. And we don't do that on our own. We do that empowered by faith in Christ. Just like Lauren Holiday said, you know, challenges come, adversity, difficulty, but, you know, win or lose on that field, the most important thing is her faith in Christ. And that really sets her free to live her life the way that it can be lived. And so Peter goes on and he challenges us in this way. He says, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Really, prayer is the power behind all that in our relationship in Christ. He said, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. I'm not sure what that means, but I think just basically, you know, love can really get you there. Maybe not just a multitude of your sins, the love of Christ, but sometimes the shortcomings of other people. You know, all of our relationships have some shortcomings. And human, to be human is to have some shortcomings as well as gifts and talents. And so if we have a love that's deep in Christ, we're not just sort of have a magnifying glass out for every little thing, every little fault that someone has, because, you know, that's a real downer in relationship, whether it's in our family or in the church or wherever. And Peter's saying, listen, I have a kind of a deep, passionate love in Christ that covers a multitude of sins, all right? It loves the number one thing. But he goes on and says, listen, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he or she has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether your gift is soccer or baseball or football or tutoring kids or teaching or being a farmer or factory worker. Whatever it is, those gifts and talents are all from God, and we could use them for God wherever we are, the church or community or around the world. And so Peter says, use those gifts. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. That would change things, wouldn't it? If anyone serves, he or she should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You think about Peter for a moment, and you know, Peter had been there. I mean, Peter lived a passionate life. He sort of led with his heart, and that's one of the things I think that we can relate to about Peter. When Peter stumbled, he stumbled with all of his heart. He stumbled in front of everybody, and he denied Christ. But he got back up after the resurrection and the Spirit's coming into his life and the day of Pentecost. His life was transformed. He lived a life that was passionate for Christ, and it empowered his life. And I think he's encouraging these people undergoing persecution and challenge and adversity to have the same kind of passionate faith in Christ. And if they stumble, to get back up, because God forgives us and God has grace and mercy and God empowers us. John Wesley became a Christian, and before he became a Christian, he was one of the most brilliant students that had ever been at Oxford University. He studied the classics and logic. He was one of the youngest students to ever be there. And he became a professor at Oxford while he was still in his young 20s, if you could imagine that. And he wrestled with the claims of the Christian faith. He wrestled in a very academic kind of a way. And then one day he was invited to a Bible study, and they were studying Luther's commentary on Romans. It's a pretty tough thing. And all of a sudden, Wesley recounts as he looks back that his heart was strangely warmed. And his life was forever transformed as he prayed and God changed his life. But this is what he said. He said, "The longest trip that I ever took was from my head to my heart. The longest trip that I ever took was from my head to my heart." And sometimes we have faith in our head, but not in our heart. Listen to what Jesus said as the summary of all the law and all the prophets. He said this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And you know, the first empowers the second. And it's love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. To have that kind of a dynamic passion that's powerful. And you think sometimes about a ship in a storm, and if the ship is in a storm and it's not moving, it's not under power, then it, no matter how much you move the rudder of that ship, it's going to be tossed about by the waves. But a ship under power has the ability to move in the waves and to overcome the waves of the storm, because it's under power and you can move the rudder, and therefore the rudder has power. And in that way, if our lives have the same kind of a passion and they're empowered by God's Spirit, then when we sort of move the rudder from negative kinds of things towards positive, then we're going to be able to make that difference. And Jesus says that the way that we do all that is to be connected to Him, to abide in His love in a way that keeps us connected. Listen again to those words that Emily read earlier from John chapter 15. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into fire, and burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." And he says, "I said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Notice how often that word abide is used in that short passage. Abide, because if we're cut off from the vine, which is Jesus, we don't have the power to live, and the power gives us fruit to bear. And Jesus said, "I've said these things so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete." It actually means overflowing and abundant. And we have that passion and that power and that sort of joy to be, that joy of life, because we're connected to Jesus, who is the vine and gives us love and power. You know, sometimes we just get sort of pushed down, even we have things are going pretty well, and someone sort of pops our balloon or, you know, throws water on our fire. But the truth is, if we follow Christ, then that's going to happen. But if we really center on Him and not on the culture that's around us, we can really make a difference in the world, even though sometimes we face some difficulty and adversity. Listen to these words by Mother Teresa, which is entitled Words to Live By. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they will be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. If we're focused and empowered by Christ, then whatever we do goes for God's glory, and we can have that zest for living and that passion for faith, and no matter the adversity and storms that sort of buffet us, we'll be empowered by Christ, and that makes all the difference. There's a great movie that you may have seen. It's sort of an old classic called Harold and Maude, and in it, Ruth Gordon, who's sort of this classic character, says this. She said, a lot of people enjoy being dead, but they're not dead, really. They're just backing away from life. Reach out. Take a chance. Get hurt, even. Play as well as you can. Go, team. Go. Give me an L. Give me an I. Give me a V. Give me an E. Live, live. Otherwise, you got nothing to talk about in the locker room. What are you going to talk about in eternity when life is over? Hopefully, we'll be able to say that we used all of our gifts and talents in a positive way. We served Christ in a passionate way, and we made a difference in our world. We didn't overcome everything, but we had faith in Christ that really made a difference. I'll close with a couple of thoughts, and first is from Blaise Pascal. You might know Pascal from the philosophy class. He was a brilliant French genius in math and engineering and philosophy. He's the author of this collection of sayings that are some of the best in all of history called pensées, which is sort of just thoughts or reflections. He died a very early death, and when his sister was preparing him for the funeral, she noticed that there was a lump in his shirt and under right by his heart. And so she saw some stitching. She undid the stitching, and as she did, she saw a little piece of paper that was sewed right into the shirt that he always wore. She unfolded that little piece of paper, and she read on that simply a date and one word. And the date was the date that he gave his life to Christ, and the one word was fire. Fire. He never wanted to forget what Christ had done for him, and he wanted to live his life with such a passion, and not just in faith, but in all of life, that would make a difference in the world. And I wonder today, is that a word that's part of our life? Is that a word that's part of our faith? Passion, faith. Mother Teresa said, do small things with great love. Sometimes it isn't the size of the things, but the heart in which it's done, the spirit in which it's done. Bill Borden was a millionaire, a multimillionaire of the Borden fortune in America, and he decided to let it all go and be a missionary in China. He was a young man, and he only made it as far as Egypt before he contracted typhoid and died a very young man. But shortly before he died, he wrote these words in his diary. He wrote, no reserves, no regrets, no retreats. No reserves, no regrets, no retreats. How are we going to summarize our life however long that we live? Is it going to be a life of passion, positive passion? And so Peter challenges us to push aside the negative passions of the world and to pursue a passionate faith in Christ that will empower our life and make a difference in our life and those around us. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, sometimes we lose the zest for living and the spark of faith that ignites our life. And so today, as sometimes we're buffeted about by challenges and adversity, and we just seem to be pushed down, we ask you to help us open our hearts and lives to your tender mercy and your love. Your love which empowers everything. Forgive our sins and shortcomings. Fill us with your faith and your love and your hope and your peace. But most of all, empower us with your love, that we could love you and love others through your power and to your glory. Amen.